Y'all, this wasn't my original sermon title. It wasn't my original sermon verses. And this message may make some of you a little uncomfortable, but it was laid on my heart this week, and I just feel like I have to say it. I've been watching news and reading a lot of news articles this week. And as a result, I've got a headache and my stomach hurts. And it's just really a sad, I mean, we're in a sad shape. We're in a real sad shape in this country. And it doesn't matter what side you vote on. We're in a bad moral crisis. Either way you vote, it doesn't matter. There have been some that say the church has no business in politics, but we do need to be aware of what's going on in this world. I think far too long we've lived in a bubble inside the walls where everything's happy. And the rest of the world's not like that. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 16:13 that we need to be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. And there's a rising tide of misguided and intentional efforts to break this church and break the nation of Israel. There are natural events that are also occurring at the same time, like never been seen before. To the extent it is unreal. You have people there in their late 80s, 90s, that have never seen the weather they've seen. Never seen all the stuff going on that's going on. I believe there are things happening in our world right now that have been foretold in the Bible. As I looked through the scriptures and commentaries and concordances, I found two sections of scripture that fit with what was being laid on my heart. The first came from Matthew 24. In this, Jesus and his disciples were at the temple, Herod's temple in Jerusalem, come out from it, and Jesus told them, you see this, and Herod's temple was amazing. It was on the scale of Solomon's temple, which was just beautiful. And Jesus looked at his disciples and told them, there won't be a stone of that left standing, not one on top of another. And his disciples got really curious about telling them about the date, the time, what's going to happen. And as humans, we're like that. How many of you will go to the last page of a book when you start reading it? I've been there. And the disciples were no different. And you think about the time that they were living in. Everything that they had held holy, everything that they had viewed as right, was being turned upside down. They were taken over by people who had totally different views from them. They worshiped one God. Hebrew, part of the translation is people of the book. One God, and they'd been taken over by Romans that had an entire pantheon. They had, when the Romans first took Jerusalem, the guy that conquered it, his name was Pompey. He went into the Holy of Holies, which was the spot where the priest went one time a year, and that was it, and sacrificed a pig, an unclean animal. That started the Roman occupation of Palestine. That's what they had in there. That's the time they were living in, these people. And Jesus was right. Herod's temple would be completely destroyed 70 years after his death. Totally, completely destroyed. And Jesus did start talking to his disciples. See to it nobody misleads you, for many will come in my name saying I am the Christ. May not be aware of it, there are five people currently living right now, two of them in the U.S. that claim to be Jesus. One of them is in a prison in New Mexico. Kid you not. Through the centuries, many have come to claim to be the second coming. And while there are a lot of people that don't claim to be the Messiah, how many people in popular culture are trying to tell you how to live? What's right, what's wrong? What you believe is right or wrong? I've heard a lot of people saying Jesus walked on water, And I know that's true, and I've seen a lot of them, to quote Charlie Daniels, that like do a little walking too. And it's and we have a lot of those right now. He talks about wars and rumors of wars. And it's very frightening, but see that you're not frightened. Nation will rise up against nation, and there'll be earthquakes and famines. These are beginning of birth pangs. Right now in this world, there are 22 confirmed conflicts, potential conflicts. One in Mexico, you have a paramilitary organization. The drug cartels have armies bigger than most governments. They're killing federal agents down there, decapitating them, leaving just randomly. This is not counting tribal conflicts. This stretches into the hundreds. These people are pulling in kids 6 and 7 years old and handing them the AK-47. And they're killing people, a lot of them, for their 8th birthday. There are 45 earthquakes that were 6.5 or higher in magnitude in 2018. That's a 13% increase over 2017. Global expert on famine, compared to last year, where there were 108 million people that lived in famine conditions, there's now 124 million. That's a 16 million increase in 1 year. And Jesus went on to talk about his followers. They'll deliver you into tribulation. They'll kill you. You'll be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away, and they'll betray one another and hate one another. You don't hear this on a lot of mainstream media, but right now there's 215 million Christians. They're experiencing some form of persecution in the world. 1 in 12 Christians worldwide. That's what it breaks it down to. We're very fortunate. You think about the number of Christians in America, how much of the world population of Christians we make up, where we're relatively free to do what we want. Those numbers outside the U.S. are a lot shorter than 1 in 12. They're probably like 1 in 4, 1 in 5, 1 in 6. In June 2018, near the city of Jos in Nigeria, there were over a dozen villages wiped off the face of the earth. Christian villages. They don't know how many people. 200 confirmed, but they burned everybody and they're discovering mass graves. All by Muslim tribesmen. There are, right now, church leaders in a province in Nigeria. They've been in prison for 3 years for spreading the word of Christ. Give you an idea, our district superintendent would be in jail. I probably would be, or dead. Anyone that believed in it, persecuted, left off government list. This is the world that's happening outside of here. This was told a long time ago. And as far as Islam, the Adventists, Seventh-day Adventists, they're a form of Christianity. This guy that was, he's director of the Center for Adventist Muslim Relations at Oakwood University. You know what he says is a big problem? Word of God. The Word of God, according to him, is an obstacle to freedom in America. State of New York just enacted a law that says you can have a neutral gender on your birth certificate. It's one or the other. New Jersey teacher was suspended for giving the student a Bible. Football coach was placed on leave for praying on the field. This story spread a couple years ago. The Atlanta fire chief was fired for self-publishing a book defending Christian morality. A Marine's being court-martialed for refusing to remove a Bible verse off her desk. But we can have state-supported Muslim prayer rooms. This is where we're at. colleges, Christian-based colleges, are being attacked in their financial aid. They're having their accreditations, and every college that gets financial aid has to be accredited in something, and they're having their accreditations attacked in the renewal process, and they're having problem after problem getting accredited. Christian adoption agencies, Christian pregnancy centers are being attacked in their funding. They're being attacked, health inspections, building inspections, things like that. This is going on here in the U.S. And I forgot verse 11 up here. But many false prophets will arise and mislead many. If you heard this statement, Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them to see the evil doings of Israel. ISIS website? Nation of Islam? No. That's a statement from a first-term congresswoman from Minnesota, who world map right now in her office, she has scratched out Israel and put a poster of Palestine up on it. God has a different view of that. He told Abraham in Genesis 12:3, I'll bless those that bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We have representatives in the Congress right now that want a one-state solution for Israel. And what that means is basically they want a Palestinian state. This is something that precedes the United States. This is something that precedes us by millennia. This was written thousands of years ago, what God told Abraham, and he means it to this day. Islam has distorted parts of God's word, and there have been a lot of Christians converted or murdered when they wouldn't. Some people have estimated over 300 million people have been killed in the name of Islam since its inception, counting all the wars, counting all the slaughters. We have popular celebrities that reinvent God with their versions of him. There's a better way. Wicca, nature worship, or witchcraft, depending on who you ask. 1990, 8,000 people proclaimed to worship it. 2001, 134,000. Fastest growing religion in America right now. Why? Practitioners can take their parts of it. They can take what they want, leave what they want. This is where we're at. This is according to the New York Times. This isn't Wikipedia. This isn't any of this stuff. Where if I pull these statistics up, they're from pretty good sources. I want to make sure I'm giving you the most accurate information. Lawlessness. Look what's going on in our communities. Right near Greg's house, about 10 minutes from ours, lady had to jump out of her back window because some animal was breaking in the front of it. This is 5-10 minutes from our house. This is less than that from Greg's. Got people stealing stuff off graves. We got people that are robbing for pills. We got people that are stripping their cable and wiring out of houses, risking electrocution so they can get drugs. Three, four shootings in Greenwood. 24 hours. Gang-related, drug-related. Human trafficking. You realize there are like 10,000 kids being trafficked across that Mexican border every year. That's not counting what's happening in our own state. There was a guy arrested last year trafficking teenage girls in this state. Lawlessness. But the one who endures in the end, though, will be saved. If you consider yourself Christian, if you ask yourself, has it gotten harder to stay in the spiritual, between the spiritual yellow lines? As for me, this world's gotten a lot grayer. It's gotten a whole lot grayer. Are you more hesitant now to ask a blessing in a restaurant? You don't have to throw up your hands, but does it make you feel more self-conscious now? Or if you're at a work dinner, do you feel, or you're eating with a coworker at lunch, Do you feel more self-conscious about asking a blessing? I've been there. I have felt it, especially whenever I go to different parts of the country. Coincidence? Or is it getting by design? At this point, you might be getting depressed or looking up on your seat for any hope at all, because you probably done lost it all. I know I did whenever I was writing this, but this message, it's not for doom and gloom, but it's an announcement to be ready. Shouldn't fear Jesus' return. Be ready for it, though. And not a lot of, next section of scripture we're going to look at is from Paul. And not a lot of people will realize Paul wrote some end time prophecies. And this was from the book of Thessalonians. And he talks about the time, times and epochs. And he's talking about how nothing needs to be written for you, because we know as Christians the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Jesus said no man would know day and time. There have been a lot of people that have tried to predict this. The Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they all descend from a man called Jonathan Miller, who tried to predict the day and time that Christ would return. They called them Millerites. They sold everything, got their shirts. It was coming in 1850-something. Boom! July. It came and went. I didn't move the decimal point. Okay, it's 1860-something for sure. Anyway, that came and went, but these two sects hung on. There are people that cling to Nostradamus. There are people that cling to Mayan whatever, hieroglyphs and all this. We're not going to know when. We're not. People look all over Revelation. It's not in there, the exact day and time. And that's intentional. That we're not supposed to know. You think about when you were a teenager. And your parents left you alone, but they told you they were going to be back at some point in time. We'll be back Tuesday afternoon. Now, I know nobody in this room would do anything they wasn't supposed to do. I know nobody would. However, there are some people outside of this church that might have been tempted to do stuff they weren't supposed to do and then clean up and or hide the evidence before the parents got home. We aren't supposed to live like that when Jesus is our Savior. We're supposed to be ready day in, day out. His grace isn't an excuse to, all right, I didn't got saved. Now I can go out here and live like a heathen, but he's coming back next year. So like next December, I'm done. I'm cleaning it up. We good. And when I talk about that, I'm not talking about the person that towards the end of their life, they actually have an honest to goodness change in their heart, in their soul. I'm not talking about that. Like the thief that died on the cross with Christ that had in his heart, he changed. I'm not talking about him. That type of Christian. I am talking about that person that goes out and they raise all kinds of cane and then right before come, well, okay, I got this covered. I'm done. I'm done. Where's the vacuum cleaner? And let's get all this stuff cleaned up. I want to change. It doesn't work like that. It's not supposed to. Well, what's going to happen when this world comes to an end or our life comes to an end, people are going to say peace and safety and then boom. Just like labor pains with a child, they will not escape. Never had labor pains, never wanted them, had a kidney stone, and it does happen out of nowhere and it is very intense. Paul, if you notice here, uses like similar language to what Jesus uses in the first section of scripture we looked at. When he spoke about birth pains, this is symbolic of a new time. A new age, a new beginning. A lot of people that we probably know, they don't really want to live with Jesus as their Savior, really. Honestly. They're going to take care of it later. Life insurance, a will, just like that. None of us like to think about life, not many of us, life insurance or a will or anything like that. I know when Lisa and I got married, we had our wills done. And I had to get more life insurance, which has got me a little suspicious, but it's a But you start thinking that, you know, you're not going to be here one day. And you don't know when. So far, Shane and I graduated together. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4 people in our 70-something person graduating class that have already gone on. You never know. When Jesus returns or we die, the time for redemption's over. You're going to stand in front of him. We all will. I will. And the last time I looked at that birth certificate, they ain't the expiration date. Bless you. You don't know when you're gonna leave this world. Or when Jesus is gonna return. So you need to start living right now. When Paul talks about darkness in verse 4, he's talking about sin and evil. It's darkness. It is. It's a spiritual darkness. And people who break God's laws, they cheat, they steal, they lie, they rebel against God, they worship money, drugs, power, other false gods. These people are living in spiritual darkness. It's consuming. And you think about being out in the dark at night, out in the woods, no flashlight. It's consuming you. It is all around you. There's no escape from it. You walk as long as you want to. It's going to stay dark. That sin and darkness. The only thing that can break through that is light. The light of Jesus. And unless those people turn to Jesus and they accept him as Lord and Savior of their life and live with him in the center, there is something worse than not accepting God. You accept him, and we've talked about this before, being a lukewarm Christian. Because you know better, and you ain't doing better. The person that hadn't accepted him may not know better. That's bad enough. But the person that knows better and does better about 1 hour a week, no. Jesus said, I spit you out. You have no use. You're not hot or cold. When this world ends, or their world ends, their life comes to an end, they're not going to be ready. And I can't sit up here and tell you that those people are going to make it to heaven, because most of them aren't. There are some people that try to criticize God, saying a loving God wouldn't send people to hell. God don't send people to hell. Our actions send us there. Our actions, our choices send us there. It's not God. I mean, he puts it up. He tells you, this is it. And you make those choices. Our God's a loving God. Our actions and our defiance send us to hell, not God. God made the sacrifice for us in the form of Jesus. Coming to this world, living in this world, dying the death he died. The sacrifice. This message isn't meant to depress you. This message isn't meant to criticize anybody. This message is a wake-up call, though. That those things that you may be putting off until next week or the next week or the next week, some things you don't put off. If you have not accepted Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, today is the day you need to. You're never guaranteed a tomorrow. Young person, old person, none of us are guaranteed a tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed an afternoon. Also, be alert and be aware of what's going on in this world. And just remember, we have to be out in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. Paul wrote in Romans 12, don't be changed by the world. Be changed by God. basically. As we get ready to go to prayer, I want you to ask yourself, am I ready? If Jesus came back right now or I died, am I ready? Apocalypse, automobile accident, am I ready for God? That's a hard question. That's a really hard question. If you don't like the answer that you're coming up with, go to God in prayer. Honest prayer. Come up here. I'll pray with you. What about my spouse? What about my children? What about my family, my friends? Are they? We're given, as a Christian, when you accept Christ, you also accept his command to go out and make disciples. And that includes talking to other people. And I don't mean preaching at them like you hear me up here. It may be, how's your day going? It may be sending them a verse. It may be a cup of coffee. It may be just showing them by who you are and how you do. But just ask God. Every day, I ask him for the words to say and the things to do because I don't know. I don't. Pastor can be up here and they can preach for 30, 40 years. They need their walking orders from God, just like we all do. But if there's someone in your life that you know they're not saved, keep praying for them. Keep talking to them. Don't beat them over the head with it, but just show them by your example. Maybe a verse, a cup of coffee. Maybe you don't even have to mention God. Maybe let them get what's on their mind and in their hearts out. Sometimes people get so filled with their anger and so much of this bad stuff, it's like an infection. Sometimes they have to cut it and just get that abscess out, get that stuff out, and then things start to heal. There may be somebody that you know that's gone through a recent loss, a card, anything like that. And that can be that bridge. That can be that opening. God don't mean for you to do it by yourself. Get that opening. Holy Spirit will take it from there. Hopefully these things that we're seeing are things that 100 years from now won't even be a note in a history book. But these are things that are different. We're at a different time of life than we've ever been. Nature is different. There's earthquakes, tsunamis, storms like I've never seen. We're having the storm of the century, I think, 26 times in the past 30 years, 40 years. The earth is just writhing, and there's something making it do that. People are acting crazier than they've ever acted. And I just wouldn't be doing what I need to be doing if I didn't let y'all know and just be ready. Maybe hundreds of years from now, might be tomorrow, but you need to have your heart ready no matter what. I'm going to get y'all to stand with us, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then the altars will be open and songs will be playing. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Father, I know there may be some folks that are apprehensive and they're worried. None. Don't be worried. Accept Jesus. If they've accepted Jesus into their heart, they ain't got nothing to worry about. They will touch the face of God in this next world. And God, you will be with them in this world. The times aren't easy. The decisions aren't easy. But you never promised that. You promised you would be with us, though, every step. You know the number of hairs we have on our heads. Father, your love is present. Father, just as this world writhes in pain, as this world is lost in sin, Father, just help us to be lights for those that are trapped in the darkness. Help us to be a light for them so they may come and they may accept you as their Lord and Savior. And Father, give us directions. Help us to seek your will for each of us and for what you want in our lives. And Father, help us to use the spiritual gifts that you've given us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Altars are open.